You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. As we've seen at airports, college campuses, and city centers across the nation, President Donald Trump's executive order on refugees and immigrants has angered quite a few people. But what are Michigan residents just going about their day thinking about all of this? Stateside's Lindsay Scullin hit the streets today to talk with people.
I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, they can vend them a little bit better and make sure that who they are is who they say they are.
I think it's great. He needs to protect this country. They have no right to be here unless we allow them to be. And we're Americans. They are not. They're not up to taking our rights nor our tax dollars. So I support him 100%.
I think that it's really scary. I'm horrified. I think it leads some of my friends to feel so pressured that they're about to explode, really. And the concern, and then I see a lot of smoothing things over from my conservative friends trying to grasp this, and they know it's wrong, too.
I'm an immigrant myself, so I waited 10 years to get in. I think we should secure our borders, and that's it. That's what I believe in.
I don't think he's hurting anybody. I don't think it's a Muslim ban like everybody claims it is. The top five Muslim countries aren't really affected by the Muslim ban, so I don't think it's really a bad thing.
I can understand wanting to come here and have a better life and all that, but we need to worry about our people having a better life first, because we have too many people in our own country that are starving, homeless, and have our own issues that we need to deal with first. And we've always put ourselves second compared to everybody else. We think we need to save everybody else and help everybody else.
In my opinion, I think things are being blown out of proportion. I think he's just trying to keep things balanced and make sure that whoever comes in from anywhere is good to go. I don't think it's unreasonable because he's only asking for 3 months. And that's just my point of view.
The White House continues to insist the president's executive orders on immigrants and refugees will make America safer. The West Michigan group Samaritas begs to differ. Samaritas is the largest resettler of refugees in Michigan and the fourth biggest in the nation. Chris Kavanaugh is the Refugee Resettlement Program Director for Samaritas. Chris, as we know, the president's executive orders suspends all refugee admission for 120 days and bars all Syrian refugees indefinitely and, as we know, imposes severe restrictions on travelers from those seven Muslim-majority countries. Does this make us safer?
I would argue that it does not. In fact, it's certainly something that is going to be discussed for a long time, and it's been separating families that we've been working with. And unfortunately, it's been a real detriment to some very vulnerable people. And so how that makes us safer, I guess I'm not exactly sure.
Well, and as you work with refugees, what have you come to know about these people coming to Michigan looking for a new home?
So I've been working with refugees for 16 years now. And I found them to be some of the most resilient, generous, and hardworking people that have come from atrocities that you and I could never imagine. And yet they come here with hope for a better life and a commitment to, you know, working hard to contribute to our economy and our country. And so we've seen that with, you know, interpreters that have worked with our troops overseas and fought alongside of them and in some cases rescued them from harm's way. And these are, you know, people that are kind of wrapped up in all of this right now.
How many refugees, Chris, is Samaritas working with, preparing to relocate here to the U.S.?
Usually each year we resettle statewide about anywhere from 900 to 1,200 refugee individuals. So that's a mix of individual cases and family cases. That count includes adults and children. And so we resettle in Southeast Michigan and Metro Detroit, here in Grand Rapids, where I'm located, and Battle Creek and Kalamazoo in Southwest Michigan.
And so what was the immediate effect of Friday's orders? What kind of weekend did you have?
Well, the order's been kind of a bulldozer to our programs here, and certainly to the refugees that are here, and we're having family members reunite with them or scheduled to, you know, reunify with them even this week and next week. So, for example, I have one case of a lady refugee from Burma who we resettled 3 years ago. has been separated from her daughter, who's still in Burma for, you know, they haven't seen each other for 5 or 6 years now. They're of the Christian, persecuted Christian minority. And so this refugee here in Southwest Michigan had applied for her daughter to come, had gone through all the waiting, all the steps, all the vetting, and it's been years. And finally, her daughter was approved to come and scheduled to travel in January. Unfortunately, the daughter got sick at the time of the travel and had to reschedule the flight for next week. And now, unfortunately, this mother who's been waiting to reunite with her daughter for years, and now her daughter, who's, you know, the persecuted minority that this order was supposedly supposed to protect, is now caught up in this, and for at least 120 days won't be able to reunite with her mother. So it's, you know, some heart-wrenching stories that we've been hearing.
And I've seen statements from the White House team saying, hey, everybody settle down. It's 120 days, although for Syrians, it's an indefinite ban.
That's correct. So in West Michigan, it has been primarily Christian refugees. The biggest groups that we've had in numbers have been from Burma and the Congo. And these groups are primarily of various Christian denominations, so Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Pentecostal, Baptist, you know, you name it. And so really the order, which was supposed to, you know, kind of help those people have a priority, are all, you know, stuck in limbo now. So, and most of them were folks that were going to be reuniting with family members that are already here.
But at least there's that 120-day thing to look forward to. Are you worried that that is going to move, that's going to change?
Well, I certainly have my suspicions that of will they even reopen the program after 120 days. You know, there's, you know, I certainly have my worries that that won't be the case. And to make things even more complicated for these refugees that are waiting, they're subject to security clearances and medical clearances, and they all have expiration dates on them. So if any of these during this four-month period, if their security clearances or medical clearances expire, all of those things have to be redone. So we could be looking at some cases being, even after the 4 months, it could be 6 months or even years before they go through all that processing again. Not to mention whatever additional extreme vetting measures will be imposed on them after, you know, this 120-day period.
Chris, I found myself wondering just what happens when someone's travel date approaches, they're ready to head to their new home in Michigan and give up their spot in the resettlement camps. What does that mean when they do that? And now the door is closed for, in some cases, 120 days, in some cases, indefinitely, if you're from Syria. What does that mean about giving up your spot in the resettlement camps?
Well, it's really devastating and heartbreaking. I mean, some of the families, you know, have given up what little they did have in the refugee camp because they were scheduled to travel. And yeah, honestly, I don't even know exactly what happens to those refugees. You know, they either have to go back to the camp or, you know, even worst case scenario, would have to go back to their home country where things are in total upheaval and in ruins. So yeah, we don't know if those folks that were scheduled, if we'll ever see them here in the U.S.
Chris, are you directly helping any potential refugees with life-threatening medical problems? I'm wondering what this ban could mean for those people.
Yeah, certainly over the last few years, the U.S. has prioritized certain refugees that do have life-threatening medical conditions. And in a place like Grand Rapids where, you know, the healthcare community is advanced and top-notch in the country, this has certainly been a place where the federal government has identified that we can work with those kinds of cases here in West Michigan. And yeah, so for sure, we won't be seeing them. They won't get the care that they need in the refugee camps. We know that. And so, yeah, I mean, people's lives are at stake here.
The president's executive order allows the secretaries of state and homeland security to admit people as refugees on a case-by-case basis, quote, in the national interest. Are you pursuing or planning to pursue appeals? I mean, what are your options?
Well, we do work with our national partners, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services and Episcopal Migration Ministries. They have some advocacy folks on the ground that are trying to get us information about what that means, how we can access that. At this point, we don't have any information really about how refugees can, you know, apply for that.
And for people listening to us talk who do not support what the president has done, what are you telling people to do? People who care, what are the best actions for them to take, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think we saw a lot of it over the weekend with people kind of spontaneously getting out and marching and going to the airports and protesting.
But that has not appeared to change any hearts and minds in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I knew what it would take to change hearts and minds in the White House. You know, I wish we had extreme vetting of our people running for public office as much as we do for refugees, and maybe we wouldn't be here in the first place.
Chris Kavanaugh is the Refugee Resettlement Program Director for the West Michigan Group, Samaritas. Chris, thank you so much for taking our questions.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.